from chapters 3 and 4. But this is quite a speaking, and I would really recommend again that you get a chance to read this. If you have a copy, or pick one up and read it if you haven't got a copy. This matter of prayer, we have to realize it's not something that is an activity or a duty of the Christian, so that's why we're talking about it. But actually, prayer is in one view, it's the entirety of God's economy. It is God contacting man and man contacting God in a mutual way. Amen. It's our being gained by God and our gaining God. Amen. And our cooperating and being one with God. Amen. In fact, this matter of prayer is, in another way of talking about it, this is the God-man living. Amen. God and man joined, mingled, and incorporated and laboring together and expressing God. And when God has that on the earth, He has a man that matches Him. He has a representative on the earth. This is prayer. When we are praying, we are speaking what the Father is speaking. We're speaking what the Son is speaking. We're speaking what the Spirit is transmitting. So is it man or is it God? Or is it God or is it man? See, this is prayer. This is the high peak of the divine revelation when you really get into the intrinsic nature and significance of prayer. It's not just, prayer is something that in the human concept is out there, even without the Bible. You know, the Muslims pray. Did you know that? The Buddhists pray. Unbelievers pray. People who are completely unbelievers, they'll send me a card and say, I'm praying for you this year. Okay. Well, not to say that's one thing or another, but what prayer is as revealed in the Bible, this is God and man. This is the God-man living. The high peak of the divine revelation is embodied in prayer. It's God becoming man. In life and in nature and in expression and in function. Not in the Godhead. Not as an object of worship. But this is prayer. This is, this book was written in the 1950s. So we're just adding just the seeds of all of what the ministry has brought us to up to this point are here in this book. Amen. So this is really something. There's 3 points about prayer and its meaning is our contacting, our mutual contact, our being gained and God gaining us, breathing God. See, God breathed out and we breathe in. This is prayer. Prayer, we think, is our exhaling. Well, there is that aspect of it. But actually, prayer is our inhaling. Think about it. When we pray, we are inhaling God. Amen. And being lost in God. Marvelous. And the other amazing thing about prayer is that God needs us to pray. Amen. That is like, God has a need? Well, in Himself, in His Godhead, He's complete. But in His economy, in His plan, in what He's executing, He absolutely needs God. So from that perspective, you could even say, without our praying, God is not complete. That's almost a shocking comment. Again, don't misunderstand me. God in His Godhead, completely complete. But in His, what He's executing, in carrying out His plan, He needs us to pray. He needs a vessel that He can fill and be expressed and flow out of. This is prayer. So chapter 3 and 4 talk about not just prayer as an act or prayer as a work, but prayer is actually our person. Who we are is actually our prayer. What God needs, He needs us as vessels containing Him, filled and saturated with Him, expressing Him. That is what prayer really is. That was just an amazing statement. That prayer isn't our work, but prayer is our person. That's a direct quote from this. This is really quite a marvelous point. So then, about 5 points about what does it mean to be a man of prayer? What are the characteristics? And so, first, to be a man of prayer, this person is a person who is absolutely for God's will. Amen. One with God and here just for God's purpose. Not for our own interests, not for ourselves, but here for God. Amen. Number two, this is a huge one. A man of prayer is one who lives in God, constantly in fellowship. So to achieve that, there can be no hindrance between us and God. Anything that comes in as a hindrance will interrupt our prayer. Any kind of sin, we have to deal with that. Any kind of barrier, even a preference that's not according to God. Perhaps it's a connection or a tie that we're not willing to break off. There's an amazing list. Maybe it's a loving the world. A little bit of us still secretly connected to the world. This interrupts our prayer, our fellowship, pride, boasting, showing off. All these matters interrupt. They come in as barriers between us and God. Thoughts that are not pure and simple towards God. Some self-seeking. All these matters, what are they? They are things we need to come to the Lord and be cleansed of. Open to Him. Turn to Him. Let Him deal with these things. Tell Him, Lord, and you know what? None of us are completely a man of God yet. I hope you realize that. This is not, oh, I can't make it. This is what God is bringing us into. This is God's economy. He's constituting us to be men of prayer so that all these hindrances are gone and our fellowship with Him is constant and uninterrupted so that what we are and what we live, this is a prayer.
Amen.
Wonderful. So it's a continual fellowship. A man of prayer waits on God. Isaiah 40:31. The one who waits on the Lord will rise up. This is a great principle, a marvelous footnote on Isaiah 40:31 about rising up with wings like an eagle. This is when we wait on Him. Then He operates. He supplies and He lives in us. This is the God-man living, but it requires us to not initiate, let Him initiate, and to wait on Him. Amen. Then something marvelous takes place. We just soar above every circumstance. Again, I recommend the footnote. Number four, we put everything of ourself aside, especially our ability and opinions, and we halt. We stop. We learn the lesson of stopping.
Amen.
We wait and we quiet our being. This is a matter of very crucial to prayer. You know, there's that illustration that the brothers have expounded about Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord. She came to the Lord, number one. She sat. That means she let her whole being be quieted. You know, when we pray, things will come to interrupt. The doorbell will ring. Or the cell phone will buzz. Those are interruptions to prayer. But even more, there are inward interruptions. We'll get a thought. And we know right away, oh, that thought is just totally distracting. We need to quiet our being and let our spirit initiate and bring forth the content of our prayer. Even more subtly, though, our mind will tell us, oh, I need to pray for that person. I need to pray for that situation in the church that the brothers even asked us to pray. Be careful. Those can be distracting thoughts from our soul. The whole point of quieting ourselves is we want our spirit to lead and not our soul. Our soul is full of things, full of thoughts, like I mentioned, full of emotions, feelings about things. Just let it go. Just let it sit there. Calm your being. The Lord, if He's praying for that and we touch the Lord and are there bathing in His presence, it'll come back. We'll pray for those matters. those matters, but they're initiated and flow out of our spirit.
Amen.
And finally, a man of prayer must be one who is willing to pay any price, to yield everything. It's kind of a summary. Everything we're willing to yield to the Lord. He wants something, we give it to Him.
Amen.
He wants us to go somewhere, we go. Mainly, this matter of yielding to Him is a matter of the cross.
Amen.
Mostly, it's things that we need to give and be subtracted, be reduced in, rather than being added to. So there is a very interesting and easy way to remember it. The cross is a plus sign, but the actual experience is a giant negative. It's a lot of no's. It's a lot of giving that up. Well, just to kind of wrap things up, though, this matter of being proper people of prayer is actually a matter of life. These are not requirements and things that we can do in and of ourselves. There's actually a marvelous thing here. That is that we have a life in us, which is the life of prayer. That's chapter 4. This life does not sin. This life is absolutely against the self. This life is just God Himself operating in us, totally sanctified. Nothing of the world in this life. That is what has been installed in us. We need to turn to this life in our spirit. When we pray, when we touch this life, something comes out of us that is absolutely of God. This can begin not after years and years of being in the Lord. This is something installed in every believer from the very beginning. So from the start, we're not completely a man of prayer, but we are somewhat. According to that portion we have, we should just pray, contact Him, go along with the words in our spirit. And this other point that came out, particularly Wednesday, is this life that's in us is installed in us as a law. Law meaning a scientific principle. Automatically, this law prays. This one in us, we contact Him. He's all those things of a man of prayer. And a prayer is something that issues as a law out of us. And the first point in the book is that prayer and the Word go together. And I think I realize this is really some light here. That sensation and that speaking in us, that's what we pray. Because that's His Word.
Amen.
We touch our spirit and we sense, oh, a burden. What is that? That's the Word.
Amen.
We should pray the Word.
Amen.
And also the Bible. The entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is the breathed out Word of God.
Amen.
So we pray, read the Bible. That is a very good prayer. Because our prayer is to speak what God is speaking, to be one with Him in His speaking.
Amen.
So when we pray the Word, the instant living Word, the Bible, that's turned into the instant Word, that is our prayer. Anyway, thank the Lord for prayer. And He is training us, even though it's a spontaneous law and a life installed in us, we do need training in how to touch this life and to pray.
Amen.
So we'll continue this fellowship.